Please listen carefully.
Hello, world, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of the news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, obviously, because you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, it's a beautiful day, spring is here-worthy, quarantine-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. Christy, I have something to admit.
Is this something about our podcast from yesterday that you were working on editing?
Yep, that's it. So remember how the day started with no coffee?
Uh-huh.
It just got worse.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Yeah, I was wondering why it hadn't hit the feed yet.
Okay, I know, and thank you to everyone who sent us notes. We are fine. We just had a little bit of a hiccup. Christy and I have been manning this ship ourselves and using editing support from family members who are no longer on spring break. And yesterday, I just couldn't get it done. The good news is we made the decision yesterday to expand one of our staff writers' responsibilities to join this merry band of podcasting. And so we'd like to start by welcoming Amelia Buckley will be joining us as our editor. So hopefully there will be no more missed podcasts. But I figure one out of how many have we done at this point? 50? We're doing okay. Anyway, mea culpa. Sorry, everybody, that you didn't get an update yesterday, but you are getting it today. How are you doing, Christy?
I am well. I'm very excited. I have to make this short because I'm working with one of our experts for the climate anxiety webinar that I'm working on. Very excited to be talking a little later with Lise Van Susteren, who's just coming out with a book called Emotional Inflammation. And she's going to be one of the experts we are working with on putting together this webinar. So I'm excited about that. So I have to get this done and in the can quickly.
All right. Well, then let's just get right to it. A revived old custom in Italy is helping those in need during the pandemic, from the ideas section of the Optimist Daily. In Italy, where the coronavirus has shuttered more than 2 million businesses and left one in every two workers without income, some Italians are putting a new twist on an old custom to help the needy and restart the economy. In Rome, the Piazza San Giovanni della Malva used to echo with the noise of crowded cafes and restaurants. Now, the only open business is Ercimoto, a grocery shop so small that in order to respect social distancing, people are ordering through the window. At Ercimoto, it's common for customers to ask the shop keeper to add a donation to their bill for what's called la spesa sospesa, or suspended shopping. The concept derives from the century-old Neapolitan tradition of suspended coffee, when a customer in a cafe pays in advance for someone who can't afford it. The store usually doubles the amount donated and provides food that does not spoil fast, such as pasta and canned goods, to local aid group that distributes it to the needy. Essentially, suspended shopping is an act of charity in which the donor doesn't show off and the recipient doesn't have to show gratitude. Such acts of kindness are also seen in other forms. For instance, some small businesses that are on hold have made it possible for people to buy their services and products in advance and redeem them when they open. By doing this, customers are helping owners pay the rent or utility bills while also staying in touch with their favorite shops. Pay for something now and get it after lockdown. It's one way to help shopkeepers from going bankrupt and, at the end of the virus tunnel, return to business almost as usual.
This is a sweet story. And it's that paying it forward. And it's when you have a little something and you share that little something, then you can help your neighbor in need.
We have Brennan just recently graduated diaper size and went from size 3 to 4. And I have several boxes from my early Amazon hoarding. And we thought about returning them to Amazon. Instead, I just posted them on our local board to offer anyone in need those diapers. So it's the little stuff you can do to try to pay it forward right now. We're all in need of a little goodwill, a little spesa sopesa.
Great. All right. Well, in our next solution, Robots are already making contact-free deliveries in some American cities, and this is from the technology section on the Optimist Daily. You might not see many people walking down the sidewalk in downtown Fairfax, Virginia during this pandemic, but it's possible you'll see a robot. The city is the latest to partner with Starship Technologies, a company that makes small delivery robots and now operates a fleet of 20 in Fairfax, making deliveries from restaurants to anyone within a small radius and bringing groceries to the elderly and others at high risk from COVID-19. This is a company that we've written about on the Optimist Daily in the past when it was launching its robot delivery service on college campuses, but the coronavirus is making it newly relevant. When it became clear that the coronavirus would change life in the town and heavily impact the business community, the city of Fairfax looked for ways to help. That's when the city government, decided to fast-track approval for the robots, partly as a way to keep local grocers and restaurants up and running. Customers order groceries or the restaurant meals through an app and then drop a pin where they want the food delivered. As with Uber, an interactive map shows the delivery en route as the robot travels down sidewalks and crosses streets. Like an autonomous car, the tiny robot uses sensors, artificial intelligence, and machine learning to navigate. The company's team monitors the robots remotely and can control them if needed. When the food arrives, the little bots can carry up to 20 pounds of groceries, or around three bags. The customer then uses their phone to unlock the robot and retrieve the order. The tech is obviously well-suited for an era of social distancing. Without a delivery driver, there's less contact with the food before it reaches the customer, and both the hypothetical driver and the customer are protected from exposure to the virus or anything else. When the robot returns to the store, it's easily cleaned using a Lysol wipe. Fairfax isn't the only city to be operating robots from Starship Technologies. The company recently started operating in Washington, D.C., Tempe, Arizona, and Irvine, California. And this is a cute story, Summers. It's a little bit concerning if you think about, you know, robots taking over the world, but let's make friends with technology and make it work for us.
All right, our next story from the environment section of the Optimist Daily. These birds are helping endangered rhinos avoid trouble. Red-billed oxpeckers hitching rides on the back of black rhinos are a common sight in the African bush. The birds are best known for feeding on pesky parasites found on a rhino's skin. Now, new research suggests the birds may also serve as sentinels that help the endangered animals avoid humans, including poachers. This can come in very handy considering that rhinos have notoriously bad vision. Even in close proximity, a rhino might struggle to notice lurking danger by sight. But the oxpecker easily can, unleashing a sharp call to warn of intruders. The study, which took place in South Africa's Lulu Imfolzi Park, involved a team of researchers approaching 11 black rhinos on foot on the open plains on 86 occasions. The researchers found that those rhinos with a red-billed oxpecker tagging along were much better at detecting the researchers' presence than those without. In fact, rhinos listening to their oxpecker buddies were able to pick up on the approaching scientists from 61 meters away, more than twice as far as when rhinos were alone. All rhinos responded to the oxpecker's alarm calls by becoming vigilant, standing up from a resting position, for example, and turning to face downwind, their sensory blind spot. The rhinos then either ran away or walked downwind to investigate the potential danger. The finding sheds new lights on the symbiotic relationship between the two animals and how it may help conservationists in their efforts to protect the critically endangered black rhino.
This is delightful, Summers, the sort of the symbiotic relationship between two different species, and it shows just how much we're all interdependent and we need to rely on each other.
I love these animal stories as well, and certainly, it even more context to those great images we see when people get to travel and adventure and see them in the wild.
Well, our next solution is from the business section on the Optimist Daily. It is a story about how the coronavirus is forcing us to reconsider how we measure productivity. Since the period of the Industrial Revolution, we've used one primary scale to measure productivity, hours. But is this really an effective way to gauge actual performance or output? Not exactly. Measuring productivity in hours alone can discourage workers from being more efficient with their time. In some instances, it rewards those who are perceived to be working more hours, even when they're not accomplishing very much. Now that workplaces have closed their doors, in many cases, and allowed employees to work from home, there's a unique opportunity to experiment with a different and far more effective scale. In search of a visible alternative, in his 2012 book, Extreme Productivity, Boost Your Results, Reduce Your Hours, MIT lecturer Robert Posen offers an alternative productivity measurement system that he calls performance objectives with success metrics. According to Posen, people should spend real time figuring out what their goals, priorities, and objectives are and agree on success metrics on how you can tell after a week or a month whether you've achieved them. Posen's system empowers workers to work on their own schedules so long as they're able to complete the agreed upon tasks within the agreed upon time frame. Though it may require extra effort on behalf of employers and managers, Posen believes the practice of defining goals helps organizations better focus their efforts and better utilize their human resources. Posen's system empowers workers to work on their own schedules so long as they're able to complete the agreed-upon tasks within the agreed-upon timeframe. And organizations going remote have a choice. As many companies are finding out, it doesn't really matter if someone works 9 to 5 or 4 to midnight as long as they get the job done. There are remote jobs that require strict adherence to hours, such as customer service. In other roles, however, employers have been given a choice. Use somewhat invasive tools to remotely track employee screens and maintain strict working hours, or offer employees greater flexibility and autonomy and control over their own schedules. While the former might provide employers with greater oversight, small business consultant Marla Tabaka argues that the latter breeds a stronger work culture and, in turn, more productive employees. I'm seeing more CEOs begin to learn that letting go of that control gives them more control, she says. Will we start judging progress in terms of productivity rather than hours worked? While we shouldn't expect companies to just stop measuring productivity in terms of hours, it will surely press companies to see how foolish it can be to link time and output, especially when it comes to knowledge-based work. It will definitely be fascinating to see what changes happen once this pandemic comes to a close and how these new circumstances we've been forced to live under affect how we think about our work lives in the future.
It's really exciting to be running a remote business at this time. I know you and I both are excited by the change and all of the new technology that's coming to play. I am concerned that there are employers who would be monitoring screen time, and that seems creepy to me, almost, you know, kind of fall into the section of drones and robots, creepy screen monitoring. But I definitely can say that productivity at our team has skyrocketed when we gave people the flexibility to know that getting the job done was more important than logging hours. Now, speaking of logging hours, we don't have much time before you need to get to your next very productive event, so I'm going to wrap this up quickly with our last story from the education section of the Optimist Daily. Online education platform Coursera offers free courses to the unemployed. Coursera is opening access to its online education platform in a bid to help people unemployed due to the coronavirus pandemic. The Coursera Workforce Recovery Initiative is an extension of the company's Coursera for Government training program, an initiative originally launched in 2017 to help equip government employees and residents with in-demand skills. The service, which typically costs $399 per year, has made 3,800 courses available for free through government agencies hoping to find jobs for residents. The main objective is to help workers left without jobs due to the pandemic to develop skills to become reemployed. Topics run the gamut from digital marketing and analytics to cloud computing and app development. And Coursera's partnership with several big names in tech allow users to earn qualifications tailored specifically to those companies, including Google and IBM. State agencies in Illinois, Arizona, and Oklahoma will be the first to offer Coursera's new program, along with governments in Colombia, Costa Rica, Greece, Malaysia, Panama, Ukraine, and Uzbekistan. The company anticipates that more U.S. states and countries will take up the offer over the next few weeks. I love this story for a lot of reasons. We have talked about the future of education at the Optimist Daily, and my son was recently just received an email that said, oh, you need to make your decision on your college pick by May 1st. And it just seems so misplaced that a decision for what college would even look like had to be made in, you know, 2 days when we don't even know what education is going to look like a year from now. So I love that Coursera is taking this on, and it's really exciting. Education's going to change, work's going to change, and the whole world is going to look different and I think better.
I hope so too, Summers. All right, well, thank you everybody for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and to offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And if you're already an emissary, please consider inviting a friend to join as well. For just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Have a great day, everybody. And Christy, have a great meeting.
Thank you, Summers, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow.
Bye.